I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, Lord, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
I see understanding arising in our hearts today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
All of us, me included. My life is being transformed.
Amen.
Are you saying amen? Okay. My life is being transformed.
I am being changed.
I'm talking about myself. You can use any word for yourself, all right?
I am being changed.
I am being lifted.
I am being lifted.
I am not the man I used to be.
The word is entering my heart.
It is giving me light and direction.
It is healing me in every area.
It is bringing out the anointing of God in my life.
Is bringing out the deposit of God in my life.
Is bringing out manifestation into my environment.
Is bringing out sonship out of me.
And deliverance for the environment.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
The word that is coming today is precious to me.
I'm collecting my portion.
In Jesus' name.
Alright,
sit down please. Let's open our Bibles. That's why we're here. To hear the word of God, let's see what the Lord will say to us from the scriptures. Let's just start from the book of Psalms this morning, Psalm 27. David said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell." He said, "Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident." He now said, in the midst of all of this, when there's trouble, when there's lack, when there's calamity, when enemies are arising, I refuse to be afraid. In the midst of all of these things, verse 4, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple." Let's just read a few more verses. He said, "For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing here. I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and be gracious to me and answer me." It said, "When you said," verse 8, "seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I shall seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not abandon me, nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. For my father and mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a level path because of my foes. Do not deliver me," he says, "over to the desire of my adversaries. For false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I will have despaired unless I have believed that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord," he said in verse 14. "Be strong and let your heart take courage." Yes, wait for the Lord. The Lord is good. Now, I just decided to finish reading all that portion of the Psalms. But what I just wanted from there was just a few verses. But then, in getting to it, I found out that the two important verses I wanted there were tucked in the middle of the psalm. So I said, all right, let's just read everything. Now, what are we reading there is that when David needed to make requests in the midst of his troubles, you will see the request that was paramount in his heart. In verse 4, he says, one thing I have asked from the Lord. And David said, that is one thing he will seek. And what is that thing? That's in verse 4. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate. Now, I'm using the American standard now. To meditate in his temple. He said, this is one thing I have asked from the Lord. I want to behold the beauty of the Lord. I want to meditate in his temple. I am not looking for other things. I am not looking primarily to have my needs met. I am not trying to get abundant prosperity. I want to go into the temple of God and see his face. I want God to reveal himself to me. That's what I'm bringing out here. David said, if you go down to that verse 8, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I shall seek. Now, please, what I'm trying to do again, in fact, I've just thought about that. It would be as if I'm repeating myself, but doesn't matter. Let's do it. Because they say where there's no repetition, the people are not established. We need to go over these things again and again. This is the thing that is important about Christianity. Now, we have been looking at it for some time. Of course, what we're talking about is the pursuit of God. And today I want to speak about that pursuit of eternal life. I need to explain something about that issue of eternal life again today. Now, please follow me closely. Last time, let me just review for a moment. Last two messages here. What we'll be looking at is what I will talk about the prophets of God. I just need to explain it again, just for a few moments, especially the aspect of us understanding why we are important to God, why we are important to what is going on the earth. Let me just remind us again. The heavens are the heavens of the Lord. The earth he has given to the sons of men. If God wants to do something on the earth, he said, I will not do those things until I have gotten the cooperation of my prophets. That is, it is what the prophets prophesy that are in agreement with what I want to do that I'm able to execute on the earth. So Amos said, surely the Lord God does nothing until he first reveals his secret counsels to his servants, the prophets. We've been looking at that point. So these prophets are important. They are very, very crucial to what God does on the earth. And Jeremiah was not correcting us concerning the behavior of prophets. He said prophets must be people who are the people of the inner circle. He said if they had been in my council, and what do they do in the council of God? We've seen that what they do is to behold his plans, to listen to his words. It's only when people have beheld what God is doing, when they have heard his words, when they have received of his spirit, that is when they are able to prophesy effectively. God said, I did not send these prophets, yet they ran with their own message. So many people are out there, they are speaking things that God did not say. And that is why the words of Christians appear as if they are powerless. And there's something I said last time, I need to emphasize it again, please. All right, I'm not preaching of that prophet's message again. Just to emphasize something that's very important. I said that you have to be careful because this is what happens. They are in the council of God. They are in his inner circles. What do they do there? They are in God's presence so as to soak his nature. It is not as if God is just giving them information. He is transforming them to what he is like. What do I mean by that? Remember the story of Moses. When he will leave the presence of God, his face will be shining. When he leave the presence of God, he will have absorbed so much of divinity that the air around him will feel it. We said something the other time. I don't know. Okay, let me just refer to something about the Lord Jesus. Okay, the disciples that were with him for a number of years. One day, Peter got up to speak. Peter did not feel particularly anointed. You must get this point. Peter did not feel particularly anointed. It is not as if, oh, today I feel an unction coming up. He just got up to respond to his situation, and he spoke so well, people looked at him. Where did this man get all of this knowledge? They said, oh, they have been with Jesus. That is, the presence of Jesus in their lives affected them even when they did not realize they were being affected. Are you getting my point here? So that when they got up to speak, they released a kind of ability that even they did not know they had, because the presence of God coupled with the release of the Holy Spirit, all right, the presence of the Lord Jesus, had affected their lives. Now, what am I going to say here? That what happens is that the prophets of the inner circle,
they begin to see like God. Now, please, let me go on here and explain it. They begin to see like God sees. They begin to interpret things the way God interprets things. There's something I said last time, we must be careful, that we don't drink of the negative spirits of the environment. You read too much newspapers, you drink a negative spirit. You tune to urban radio too much, you drink a negative spirit. You tune to Radio Biafra, you drink a negative spirit. You tune to all these freedom fighting, radio stations, you drink a negative spirit. You read too much newspapers, you drink a negative spirit. There is no way you will not drink a negative spirit unless you are focused on the word of God. Are you getting my point here? The Bible said, don't associate with people who are given to change. People are always getting up and fighting for freedom. Don't associate with them. What they are trying to do is pouring a negative spirit into you. The way we Christians achieve what we want to achieve in life is to drink of the Spirit of God. When Daniel wanted to get freedom for Israel, what did he do? He did not go to negotiate with Cyrus. He did not go to negotiate with anybody. He just knelt down and found the word of God and turned that into his prayer. What am I going to say? The solution to everything is in God's word. We must be careful you don't drink the spirit of angry people. You are a married woman, you're having problems with your husband, you go and take counsel from a woman who is divorced, you are taking counsel from a woman whose father beat the mother very much. Now, these are not wicked people. They are just bitter people. Are you getting my point here? When people are bitter, they release a negative vibe into your soul. Please, I need to explain that in very much. The Bible says that, we have to explain this in very, very well for Christians to understand. It said, guard your heart with all diligence. It is not everybody you allow to speak into your life. Let me say it again. It is not everybody you allow to speak into your life. You don't discuss your matters with everybody, because many people, their spirits are poisoned. They are out there. Are you getting my point? You think they mean good, and they actually mean good, they think also. The only thing is that their spirits are poisoned. You get me? So when they speak to you, by the time you're done, all right, you start seeing things with a colored eye, and the color is not the color of God. The other day I was in my office, I was talking about some issues. There's one man I know, all right? His ability to, the other day I quarreled with him. I said, you see, you live in your own world you cannot be reasoned with. And this guy is an adult, he's about my age. But I realized that his eyes are colored. If you fall down here, he wants to check who laid the rug and check who the grandfather of the person is. That he knew you are going to walk across here after this particular day. That is why he now said that. Are you getting my point here? Now, so people like that, if they talk to you every day, they poison your interpretation of things. They poison your heart. Please be careful. Don't let people poison you. When people poison your ability to see straight, when people poison your ability to interpret life so that you don't see life the way God is seeing it, they poison your ability to prophesy. We said that last time. Let's be very, very careful. It is so crucial that you keep your spirits pure. Many people sit down morning, afternoon, and night and read newspapers. I said those days, my pastor said something. He came to church one day and kind of apologized to everybody that he realized he had become a Nadeko prophet. And that why did he become a Nadeko prophet? Because he read he used to read papers every day. And they had colored, that was the time, I don't know how many of you were aware of national events enough to, this was like 20 years ago, 20 years ago, it started this year. So he said that, 97 to 98, that he had become a Nadeko prophet. For that reason, he came to church and announced that henceforth, I'm not reading newspapers, at least for some time. Now, why am I talking about that? This was a man of God seasoned with the word of God. Yet, when he was captured, please, I hope you're getting my point here. Listen, when too many things around we let them fill our faces, we don't see the mind of God anymore. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. We don't see the mind of God. If people around complain to you too much, you will not understand what God wants to do. Listen to me. Wisdom in life is not a matter of natural intelligence. Let me say it again. Wisdom is not a matter of natural intelligence. Let me tell you what real wisdom is. Wisdom is to be able to assess a situation and derive divine counsel from observation. I don't know why you're getting my point here. That is, what is wisdom?
Look at the situation. What do we do? Say, this is what God will want us to do. That is wisdom. Wisdom is not the kind of English you speak. Wisdom is not how many degrees you have in front of your name. Wisdom is not the natural experience you have had in life. That was why Elihu said, the aged are not always wise. He said, multitude of years do not always understand wisdom. He said, there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives him understanding. Wisdom is not something you acquire just by age. It is when God breathes upon you and allows you to be able to judge the situation wisely. Please, I hope you're getting my point here. What am I going to say here? So if you like, be seasoned in history, doesn't make you wise. If you like, know the detailed political history of a country like Nigeria, it does not make you wise. You can know all the political history from the First World War till today. From amalgamation of the northern and southern protectorates of Nigeria till today. You can have all the detailed history. And then you come telling me, somebody told me about how Ogbanje spirits gathered to create Nigeria. I've read all kinds of things. How the Mami water spirits, people went and met beneath the ocean and created a country. I didn't care the vision the man said he saw. I said that vision is against scripture. Because you know that the epochs are determined by God. God is the one that creates the kingdoms of man. Those are the things that we know from scripture. He's the one that sets boundaries. I don't care what you were dreaming about. What I'm going to say is that you can know all the history. If God does not breathe wisdom into you, you are not wise. And many times I read people talking in the newspapers, you hear them on radio. You say, these are foolish people talking. They are old men, but they are foolish. They have degrees, but they are foolish. They have experience, but they are foolish. What is foolishness? Inability to decipher what God wants you to know and do next. That's foolishness. Wisdom is when God breathes upon you. What am I going to talk about here? So the prophets of God, they need to be able to tap into divine wisdom. How do they tap into divine wisdom? That's what I'm going to emphasize. They have to keep their spirits free. What happens is that people, when they have been polluted, I was talking about that last time, I'm going to revise it again today. Like I said last time, their father is angry. Because one man from somewhere stole the girl he wanted to, didn't steal, just outshined him. Two of them, he loved the girl very much. But that guy, for one reason or the other, did better than him in the girl's eyes or her family. 30 years later, he said, my children cannot marry from that village. You don't know why. You think the man is speaking. They will not start, people cook up stories to support what they want to do. You know that. I was reading one. Somebody was talking about election in America. I was talking about campaign. He said, what you campaign with is not really what is not really why people are voting for you. He said, the campaign are the excuses they find to vote for you. That they already want to vote for you. So when you are making all the noise, he said, the average person just looks at you and decides he wants to vote for you. Everything you say after is the excuse he gives himself. To, I don't know whether you're getting my point. In the same manner, when a man is bitter, is angry, he says, from that village, my children can't marry from there. You don't know what is inside him. You don't know that somebody took a girl he wanted to marry 30 years ago. And is angry. And when I was speaking to his children, I said, do people from that area, they don't brush their teeth in the morning. And that's pressed to their brain. And then you too, you don't know, you now get up and go out and propagate it amongst your friends. People from that village are bad. You don't know that your father is angry. If God were to reveal to you, you say, daddy, but mommy came out very good. Now, what's your problem? What I'm trying to say, people with anger, they come, pour their venom into your spirit. You now start using the anger to interpret things in life. This is a problem. You are now unable to decipher what God wants to show you. Let me say something about the way the prophets of God operate. I said that towards the end of last time's message. They just have, God has transferred the spirit inside them so that they judge the way God judges. We read from the book of Isaiah chapter 11 last time that they imbibe the spirit of wisdom, of understanding, of counsel. That's what God pours into them. When the word spirit comes in the scripture, you have to be careful how you interpret it. It doesn't mean that the man will just be vibrating, vibrating, vibrating. No, it's just an underlying attitude in his heart that is produced. For example, if he has a spirit of love, he easily forgives, easily makes excuses, easily just, you understand, overlooks things. That's the spirit of love working in somebody. It manifests as ease of forgiveness. In the same manner, when somebody has received the spirit of the fear of God, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of knowledge, the spirit of wisdom, when he just by having that spirit, he reads the newspapers, sees what is going on. That's news now, not analysis, just the news. All right? It comes to a different conclusion concerning what he's seen. The example I gave last time, you hear troubles everywhere. People are afraid who don't have the spirit of Christ because they are expecting calamity on the earth. But those who have the spirit of Christ, they look up, they rejoice. Why? Their redemption draws near. What am I saying? The prophets of God, remember we said it, they are the ones that we utter and God will confirm. They are the ones that we speak and God will bring their speech to pass. But for them to be able to speak, they must have received the spirit of God inside them by interacting with God. That's what we're talking about. Not that somebody lays hands on you and say, receive the anointing, anointing to prophesy. It's coming upon you today. Who wants to be a prophet? Not that somebody will lay hands on you and say, now you're a prophet. No. Actually, what happens is that, from what we're talking about, the person just has the mind, the attitude of God. The person has the understanding of the Almighty of a situation. So when he or she speaks, without thinking about it, he's speaking the mind of God. Let me give you an example. Now, remember Samuel. Samuel was a man who the Bible says not one of his words fell to the ground. Did you notice that?
Yes, sir.
Every time Samuel spoke, it was confirmed. Do you know Elijah, when he told rain to stop falling in Israel, nobody talks to him. God did not talk to him. The Lord didn't say, Elijah, come. He didn't say, now listen to what did not happen. Elijah did not say, the word of the Lord came to me saying, thus I will punish the iniquity of Israel. For they have gone after other gods. And they have offered sacrifices to the idols that are not God. Under different trees. That's Jeremiah. That's Ezekiel. Elijah just came. You people are worshiping other gods, eh? That's how you like it, eh? Okay. I'm coming. Tomorrow I'll be back. If you people are still worshiping other gods, you will see. And today, the next day, he came back. All right, there will be no rain, no dew in this country, except I say otherwise. You know that kind of thing? That's it. Just pour finger for them. I went and sat down. And the Lord confirmed the word of Elijah. Elijah did not say, thus says the Lord. Elijah just came and said, there will be no rain, there will be no dew, except by my word. Why? He was angry with idolatry. What am I going to say here? You will see that what happened was that Elijah had drunk of God's spirit. Elijah had been in the inner circle. Elijah had understood how God reasoned. Elijah had received the wisdom of God as part of his being. And that was what provoked him to speak. Same thing with Samuel. I am convinced Samuel was a man that knew God. You see, there are different ways people operate. All right? Or the way they operate and they operated. That time, the prophets in Israel were different categories. They were different categories. They were prophets because let me just explain them by different categories. There were two kinds of prophets. Now, just for the purpose of what we're talking about here. There were prophets who did their job effectively. You are going on the road. I suppose a man like Jeremiah was like that. You are going on the road. You, before you were born, I called you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, and the man looked and said, Lord, why do you want to ruin my life? You know I cannot talk. He said, go and prophesy against the kings. Ah, small boy like me. They will imprison me. Are you getting my point? After much talking, the Lord persuaded him to go. He put his word in his mouth, and Jeremiah executed the word of God effectively. That's one kind of prophet. But it's another kind of prophet, like Moses. Moses, before he was born, the Lord knew him also. Before he was formed in the womb, he was also consecrated to be a prophet. Not to the nations, but to Israel. To deliver them out of Egypt. Okay, fine. Then Moses began to do his job as a prophet when he went down to Israel, down to Egypt, and he called the people out. But you will now notice something along the line. Moses now developed a personal relationship with God, different from a prophetic office. God could speak through Moses. He did not know, didn't mean they had to be friends. Many prophets in Israel were not personal friends with the Lord, but they prophesied effectively. I hope you are getting my point here. That's when you get to the New Testament. You start seeing, not just New Testament, even the Old Testament there. You now notice that when God wanted to speak to Jeremiah, and he wanted to talk about people, he mentioned Moses and he mentioned Samuel. Go and read chapter 15. Jeremiah was praying, and God said, shh, quick, quiet. Even if he were to wake Moses up and recruit Samuel, I still would not listen. What does that tell you? Samuel and Moses were different kinds of people. Do you get my point here? I am persuaded, even Elijah, with all the troubles he had, he was a different kind of person. When God wanted to send people to Jesus later, who did he send? Moses and Elijah. Israel had different kinds of prophets. There were prophets, they came, they did their job, and they went home. They died in peace. Their assignment fulfilled. But amongst those prophets, there were those in the course of doing their work, they developed a very strong relationship with God. I told you before, Daniel, the Jews till today, his book is not listed as one of the books of the prophets in the Jewish Bible. Daniel's book is listed with Esther, is listed with Ezra, with Nehemiah. They are grouped together. They are like historical books of the exiles. Are you getting my point? But when you start talking about prophets, they start with people like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Hosea, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Malachi. Those are their prophets. But Daniel is conspicuously missing as one of the prophets in the canon of scripture of the Hebrews. They add him with people like Esther. Why? They say he did not bring the word of God to them. But the Christians take Daniel and put him as one of the major prophets. So was Daniel a prophet? I really don't know. Let's not argue right now. Are you getting my point? But one thing you know about Daniel was an angel came to Daniel and said, you are a man of high esteem. He said, you are highly esteemed. I discovered that most of the prophecies that Daniel released were not exactly, how do I say it now? It wasn't like the prophecies of Jeremiah. They were prophecies of Daniel, don't disturb yourself. Let me tell you what's going to happen so you can rest in peace. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Most of them were things like, Daniel, maybe, assume he's a Nigerian, whatever country he's from, he's been praying for the country for 70 years. He's now an old man. And one day he's going to die. And he's concerned that all the things we've been praying for, are they going to happen? And God looked at him and said, ah, this is my fellow. Good man. Good man. He tells an angel, take a scroll, go there and go and show to Daniel so they can relax. And the angel will come, settle down, and show Daniel, in this particular year, this is going to happen. After that, that will happen. Don't worry about this. By that time, you will have rested in peace. You will have been gathered to your fathers. Those are the kind of things that angels told him. Why are you telling me this? He said, in heaven, you are well respected. Are you getting my point here? So the things that many of those things that God gave him as personal communications, we compile and we read now as the prophecies of Daniel. That's why the Jews didn't call him a prophet. He never came into Israel. After he left as a young boy, he was buried in Babylon there. And in case you did not know, it was his tomb. It's one of the ones that ISIS developed, destroyed recently. You know, when they took over parts of Syria and Iraq, and all, some of those things they were destroying, one of them was the tomb of Daniel. The Muslims claimed them, built shrines around them, and were virtually worshipping around the tombs of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, including this man, Jonah. Those men. So when you hear that ISIS was destroying things, those are the prophets that they were fighting over. The Lord is good. So I'm talking about two kinds of prophets here. So you see, there are prophets who had this personal relationship with God. And that's what I'm teaching. When we began this, that's what I began to explain. And that's what God wants from you and wants from me. Now, such prophets, the Lord doesn't always tell them, thus is the Lord. But just having been in his counsel, they imbibe his nature. They reason like him, and when they open their mouths in judgment, it's exactly what God wants to happen. Those are the kind of men. But thank God they are very gentle. Otherwise, you don't cross them anyhow. You don't let them open their mouths and speak against you, because God will confirm it. I don't know whether you're following my point here. They are the kinds of people that God spoke concerning. Touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm. They are the kinds of people that God specially watches over. Listen to me. You can read my tract. I will only call before God. Potentially, children of God, we are all the same. But each person now decides how much of God he is going to encounter, she is going to encounter. I'm throwing out the call again. God is calling everybody, come close to me. Enough of worrying about what we shall eat, what we shall drink, and wherewithal shall we be clothed. Enough of God of breakthrough, God of breakthrough, now my papa. No, I want to be God Father. Are you getting my point? That is, I want a close relationship so that you, what's going to come out of it? When you leave and you speak, people won't know, is it God talking or you talking? They ask Paul a question. What do we do about women like this and men like this? Paul said, I prayed. The Lord didn't say anything, but I know why he didn't say anything. He knows I know what to say. He says, so I have the Spirit of God. Let me tell you what you are going to do. And that's what we quote today as scripture. Indeed, it's scripture. Because Paul spoke, having imbibed the nature of God into every fiber of his being. So when he felt about the situation, that was how God felt about the situation. God called many prophets in Israel. Yet, some of them drew so close to him. They drew so close to him that a man like, what is his name? Moses. If you challenged Moses, God got angry. Moses will speak. You know democracy? You know the meaning of democracy? What does it mean? No, fella got it right. They are all crazy. That's what fella said. Fella said, them all crazy. Says demonstration of Chris. Yes, that's fella. The Lord is good. Now, what I'm talking about is this. Democracy is not God didn't ordain. Americans make it look like that's the standard of governance in the world today. Government must be democratic. No. In Israel, everybody said, let's go to the left. Aaron, Miriam, and the elders of Israel will say, I think we should go to the left. Wait, when Moses comes, we'll tell. Moses will just come. All right, they say, left. He said, no, we are going to the right. And he starts going away. He said, but Moses, he said, I said we are going to the right. Ah, but we have deliberated for 2 days. You are just coming. You didn't listen to us. Moses said, look, I'm tired. I want to sleep. Meanwhile, tomorrow morning, we set off for the right. In case you have forgotten, Miriam was not his mate. You know the way we talk about mate. When he was a baby that they could still keep in a basket, Miriam was big enough to plot with his mother. She was the one that kept there, watching the basket. When Pharaoh's daughter saw the basket, she was the one that came out and said, do you want me to get you? I mean, that was a big girl. She was a smart girl, so she definitely was not less than 8 or 10. Possibly a teenager. Now, elder sister. Egmo. Original senior sis. Are you getting my point here? Yet Moses expects to talk and is final. So now she provoke. That was why she felt like, what is going on here? Don't forget, Aaron was from the same family, was an older brother. Of the three of them, Moses was the youngest. Read your Bible. These young boys have been causing trouble for a long time. In the house of David, who was the youngest? David. Thank you. In the house of Jacob, Joseph had only one younger brother. You get my point? Everybody else was older than him, apart from that little boy. Ibi Benjamin. So you cannot, these young boys, they've been causing trouble for a long time. And that is why the trouble commences. And if it's God that started it, you go and anoint small boys when they are senior boys. So the small boys will talk, and the senior ones don't understand. What am I talking about? That's what happened to Aaron and Miriam. And Moses talked. And two of them said, is he the only one that God talks to? After all, we are all children of God. That one, God was angry. Instantly, the presence of God appeared. And God just respected the office of Aaron. And he didn't touch him with judgment that day. But as soon as the presence of God lifted, Miriam was leprous. Why? When Moses prayed, he said, God, you know what God said? What kind of nonsense is this? And he said, there are two kinds of prophets in Israel, God said. There are prophets my word will come to. They will dream. They will see visions. He said, but not with Moses. With Moses, we hold conversations. That's what he said. He said, so when you see people who hold conversations with God, don't just challenge them and stick out your chest. That chest may burst open in that process. Now, I'm trying to tell you, look, listen. What I'm doing, I'm trying to build a quest in the hearts of people of God. And you see, God called Moses, yes. But Moses' desire, what was the desire of Moses in everything? Let's read it. Exodus chapter 33. Now, let's just start from verse 7. Where I'm going is the end, but I want to just give a small background. The Bible says that now Moses used to take the tent and pitch outside the camp. This was not, now listen, this was not the tabernacle. It had not yet been built at this time, all right? Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, a good distance from the camp, and he called it the tent of meeting. That was where he used to go and meet the Lord. And everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. And it came about, whenever Moses went out of the tent, that all the people will arise and stand, each at the entrance of his tent, and gaze after Moses until he entered the tent. Whenever Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance, and the Lord would speak with Moses. So can you see that kind of relationship? And all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent. And all the people will arise and worship, each at the entrance of his tent. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend. Are you seeing that? When Moses returned to the camp, his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. Now, Moses was now praying for the people. He said a lot of things. For time's sake, I'm not going to read all of it. Let's now go down to verse 17. The Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing of which you have spoken. For you have, yes, okay, yes, I've seen where I'm going. For you have found favor in my sight, and I have known you by name. Then Moses said in verse 18, I pray you, show me your glory. Now, why I'm reading this is that this is a man who already saw that God used to speak to him face to face. Like the Bible says. Now, of course, that was not like facing each other. But they used to have a conversation. He would talk, the Lord will respond. He will hear the Lord, he will respond. All right? And that's what the Lord referred to later on when he was speaking to Aaron and Miriam. But this person that had this kind of relationship with God, now look at his prayer, verse 18. And the Lord said, then Moses said, I pray you, show me your glory. Now, I don't know whether you're getting my point here. He was already hearing God clearly. But the man was not satisfied. We know he never saw God. Are you getting my point? Even though they said they spoke face to face, but it was like, what they mean by face to face is that they were having a conversation. We know he never saw God because of what the Lord said after here. But I'm trying to bring out that this was the quest of this man's heart. Having seen all the, now listen, having seen all the miracles that he saw, he personally walked these miracles. He was the God, in quotes, that walked the miracles. God himself said to him, you will be God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron will be your prophet. He's the one, God will tell him, take this and do like this, throw dust into the air, he will throw dust into the air. Strike the Nile, he will do, turn to blood. He did all of these things. Strike the, you know, he spread his hands over the waters, divided the Red Sea. Struck the rock, water came out. What had this man not seen at this particular point in time? Yet, the man was not satisfied. So he asked the Lord simply, show me your glory. And he said, the Lord said to him, I myself will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And I will be gracious. Now, that's the name of the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. But he said, that the Lord said, you cannot see my face. So we know he wasn't seeing the face, even though they said they used to speak face to face. For no one can see me and live. But you know what that tells you? That means that was what Moses was asking for. I don't know whether you got that point. When he said, show me your glory, that was what Moses was asking for. Say, this one that you're always speaking behind the screen. Remove this screen. Let me see who's there. God said, Moses, you want to die? Moses, you want to die? He said, Moses, forget it. Nobody can see my face and live. So we are going to work on an arrangement. You want to see me, right? Moses said, yes, no problem. I will hide you. Then I will pass. Then you look behind and see me pass. But you cannot see me approach. If you do that, you die in the process. You will melt. You know, it's like you go into the center of a nuclear reactor. You will melt. So let's not let that happen. We still need you to work with these people. But I'm bringing out this one out here to let you know what was pushing this man. That was his desire. So God now said, you cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live. Then the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, verse 21, you shall stand there on the rock. And it will come about while my glory is passing by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock. That is, you will feel my hand lift you. Then I will cover you with my hand. God was going to allow Moses feel him. He was literally going to feel God take him and put him in the cleft of the rock. And then that hand will cover him. What would that be? Just like a dark cloud there. Until I have passed by. Notice verse 23. Then I will take my hand away, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Now, listen, let's just go on to what really happened. Now, you see, verse 5, the number of things that happened then, just trying to save time. Chapter 34, now verse 5, just the next chapter. Then the Lord descended in the cloud and stood there with him as he called upon the name of the Lord. Then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed. Now listen to this. The Lord himself passed by and proclaimed. God was not the one declaring his own name. We are in verse 5. He's verse 6. So what did the Lord do? The Lord proclaimed his own name. What did he say? He said, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth. Who keeps, now this is the name of God, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression and sin, yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, and on the children to the third and fourth generations. Moses at this point made haste to bow low toward the earth and worship. He now said, if now I have found favor in your sight, O Lord, I pray, let the Lord go along in our midst, even though the people are so obstinate, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us as your own possession. Then the Lord answered him, verse 10, behold, I am going to make a covenant. He said, before all your people, I will perform miracles, which have not been produced in all the earth, nor among any of the nations. And all the people among you who live will see the working of the Lord, for it is a fearful thing that I am going to perform with you. Let me just stop here. Now, why am I reading this? These are the lessons we are taking from there. This man desired to know God, even though he had worked for God, even though he had opened many branches of churches. I'm trying to modernize it. Even though he's a bishop, at this point, he was a bishop. Even though he had done a lot of work for the Lord, but he understood that I do not yet have the kind of relationship with him that my heart really craves for. And then he asked, Lord, I want to see you. And when he said he was going to see the Lord understood something. That what the man really wanted was not going to come to him by the physical, you know, side of God that he sees, but by a revelation of the name of God. I don't know whether you're getting my point here.